Hello, everybody, and welcome back to What We're Into. This is the show where Roxy and I talk about what we're into. Who's we? I'm me, DJ. With me is Roxy. Hey, Roxy.
I'm me, Roxy.
It's a me, Roxy.
It's a me, Roxy.
So, Roxy, I have this sports analogy for you. No, anyway, let's start with a show that I feel confident that we both watched, although I don't know that I asked you. Are you caught up with True Detective Night Country?
I watched it this morning because it was on your rundown.
Cool. What are you thinking? This is episode two. I don't have any of that info in front of me, but you know, it's the same as episode one, I think.
I feel like spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers for True Detective Night Country, episode two.
I feel like there's 1 second of something that I missed, and hoping that you can explain it to me.
I'll try.
We're watching the frozen people and one of them moves. What was going on there?
One of them had died yet. And so they briefly mention after that he'd been taken to the hospital and he's in an induced coma.
Right. But we haven't checked.
No,
him, right?
We like, put okay. a pin on that. I'm assuming we're putting a pin on that for a later episode because that shit's fucking wild.
Wild. I was like, was that a supernatural moment? Like how not died?
What? Right, Roxy, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really worried that this season's going to be supernatural.
Yeah, because then we see the thing with the... the cross throwing it, you know,
yeah. People like having visions and shit.
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna do that because that's so not True Detective.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of things when he moved. I was like, oh, zombies, like, or what? I think there's gonna be some scientific explanations for how, who, what, where, why. That's why we're talking about this.
Because listen, the all those bodies at present, that's a great offer. Like, that's what happened. I just don't, they throw out some, like, oh, when you get hypothermia, you go demented and da da. I'm like, I guess, man, but this seems pretty wild to me.
Yeah, my favorite scene of the episode is when we're in the ice rink and it's her and the younger officer that looks
up. The kid.
I like their dynamic.
But they're great. Jodie Foster's doing so, she's just so amazing.
Jodie Foster's making the entire show just like awesome right now. But when everything's laid out and she's going over the questions to ask with him, and he asks and she's like, that's the wrong question. And then he goes a little further. That was my favorite scene of the episode because that's True Detective.
That's some good detective shit. I'm with you. That's good detective shit.
I like the detective part of True Detective, you know, because like, honestly, I've been watching Fargo, which I'll talk to you guys about, which I absolutely love that show. But to me, always the difference is, and Fargo takes place in Minnesota where it's freezing, and this is taking place in Alaska where it's freezing. They've got a lot of similar tones, a lot of similar stuff. The difference to me on True Detective is always supposed to be the detecting. That's why we're with the detectives, starting from season one, right? And so I like to see, like you and I both liked in the first episode, no, the mayonnaise has definitely gone bad. It's not the meat. Like, I like to know how long you've been at this. I like to know the dynamics. I like to know that everybody doesn't like you on the force or whatever it is. There's respect for you. Clearly, people shut up when you tell them to, but they don't like you. I like to know the interpersonal relationships, and I like to watch how do you detect. And as she's going over all the questions, that's the right question, that's the wrong question. Why would you run outside with no shoes on? You know, all this stuff. That makes this mystery so interesting to me. What doesn't make it interesting to me is the flashes with the cross and the going there and the zombie-like moment and this person's still a lot. Like, it's that stuff can be interesting if we rein it in and it is still grounded.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that stuff, like kind of like you're saying, if it's not True Detective. If this was just, hey, here's a new detective show, and it's like, okay, it could be supernatural. I don't know. But like True Detective, it's like, that's not what this is. I also have concerns that, and it's been so long since I've seen season one, even though I love season one. The spiral, I've been reading a lot of stuff online. The spiral is apparently a direct callback to stuff from season one.
Oh, I didn't know that. What's the family, callback? I don't remember
It was part of the cult stuff from season one. The Tuttle family, who we find out were the ones that are funding that research station where everybody vanished, were part of the cult in season one.
Okay.
The lady that found the bodies because she followed that ghost on the ice. That guy that died, that's showing up to her as a ghost, is Rust Cole's dad. That's Matthew McConaughey's character's dad.
Holy shit.
And I am like,
DJ, that was all over my head. I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't until I was reading up about it. It's like, here's the stuff they revealed. And it's like, oh, I feel like this could be real bad for this show. I feel like it should stand on its own merits. I don't know that calling back season one is the right call here.
But why did they make, I don't even remember what happened with Russ Cole's dad. So what?
What we know about that character is that he was in a romance with the mom from Andor. It's the same actress. I also think she was in Harry Potter. But anyway, it's the lady that found the bodies on the ice. He had cancer, and I guess he killed himself instead of letting the cancer take him.
And does this take place after that season?
I believe so. I believe it's not, if not modern times, close enough to like present day. And it's just one of those, like, that could be cool, but it could also like drag the show down and unnecessarily bog it down. So I am enjoying the show. I like this show so far. I think we just talked about it, Jodie Foster is great. Callie Reese, who plays the other Detective Navarro, I think is great. I like what we're doing. The supernatural element makes me a little uneasy, especially since I've seen this, the writer and director of this season. I saw one of her movies, Tigers Are Not Afraid, which is also a supernatural horror, which again, I'd be fine with if it wasn't True Detective. And the direct callbacks to season one, I feel like might trip up this show. Those things have me concerned, even though I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah. It's like, stick with us, team. Like, just if you just tighten it in, not make this an isolated, no, don't heavy up with the references, don't go into the supernatural, just stay where we are. I'm with you right now. I'm still with you.
You got an interesting mystery. You got Jodie Foster, you got Callie Reese. Those are, stick with those.
Yeah. I loved, like, were they running from something? How they were frozen, looking at, like, okay, the bite marks on them. That's all stuff that I'm like, what's up? So stay here with me. You've got me. You did the work to create something that I am intrigued by. So just stay there. Stay there.
Here's my theory. First off, in the chat, Mike Joy says, I didn't catch it either. The True Detective Talk told me. Okay. My theory is that they're doing some sort of ice boring experiment. Actually, wait, I don't know how the cult stuff, though. This probably isn't accurate, but I feel like maybe they dug up some sort of, because that's one of the concerns we have with climate change, that with thaw, that viruses or microbes that have not been around for centuries, for thousands of years, that are in ice, might get out once the ice melts. So maybe they pulled up one of those things, and that's why the guy that right now they're suspecting for the murder, the guy that was having the mental issues that like shook and said, she's awake at the beginning, that guy got infected with something. They all fucking flipped out and like, we need to get the fuck out of here, and bolted, which led to
that would
to
cause
them
you to
ice.
Bolt out with no shoes on.
I just said it was my theory, Roxy. I didn't say I don't know what else it could be. Like, if a guy comes at me with a knife, is that more or less scary? You know,
I don't know. Like, that's why it was interesting when he was like, okay, polar bear, there's no Yeti here. That was the one thing that I was like, okay, maybe they won't go supernatural because they said like there's no Yeti or whatever.
Yeah.
So I am curious specifically about the no shoes. You've got to be running from something, right?
Yeah.
Something's in there. And we do see that one guy.
What if it is a Yeti? What if they pull like a fucking The Curse, and it's like final episode, like, oh shit, it's a Yeti.
That would not work for me for this show.
Okay, gotcha.
That did work for me for The Curse.
We were on board with The Curse with this show. No, thank you.
Because The Curse was its own thing.
Yep.
And this is not its own thing. Even though I want it to be its own thing, I want it to be its own thing in the same world as the other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still really liking this, though. I think that, like you, I have some slight concerns about moving forward, but so far, so good.
Agreed. And I'm also with you, too, that Jodie, it looks like it's 6 episodes this season. My favorite relationship is Jodie Foster and the kid, to the degree that I'm worried something's going to happen to that kid.
I know, me too.
Like, I feel like we're setting, like, I like this guy too much. He's got a daughter and stuff. It's like something bad's going to happen to this fucking kid.
What was up with that other moment, DJ, with the girl that she kind of mothers with the young, she's looking.
Oh, but we found out that girl's 17. The girl she was with last week was 16. That girl, they specifically said she's 17. So I was like, oh, that's okay. All right.
So what was going on with, why did Jodie Foster's character say it like that?
I think we're supposed to understand, as much as we like Jodie Foster, that she is a little racist and she's a little homophobic.
But had nothing to do with the girl's age, even though she emphasized the age.
Yeah, the age thing. I think I think what we're supposed to understand is she emphasized the age of like, you guys are too young to be doing that sort
you
of
guys,
thing.
You guys, not she is.
She yeah, specifically. Okay. Cause
your line is written a little strange. I think they should have tweaked that. I agree. It made me and you think like pedo shit.
Yeah. It's like, wait, why are you emphasizing that so much? But I think what we're supposed to, because she flips out about having the tattoos on the lower mouth. Yep. So I think we're supposed to understand like, listen, Jodie Foster's Jodie Foster. You're not going to dislike Jodie Foster, but this character is a little homophobic and a little racist.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, I like the way Jodie Foster is complicated, because it's one of those like, it's the classic, I'm a sucker for this shit. She's good at her job, but her home life's a mess. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know people in this universe don't like her.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It's not like she's a little bit sexist, a little bit homophobic, a little bit racist, and everyone loves her.
Dude, you know, actually, that's an incredibly good point, because it is really tough when like somebody is like, yeah, they're an asshole, but they're a genius. And it's like, well, maybe they're just an asshole. I don't know. We don't need to like talk this guy about this person like he's Jesus. Okay. Let's segue over to Fargo. I don't have an asset for it, but let's segue over to Fargo.
I'm not sure. I need to look this up. I think I have one episode to go. Has everything from Fargo dropped yet? Somebody in the chat, tell me.
This Let us show, know.
DJ, do you watch Fargo?
I watched the first two seasons. Something about season three, I stopped. And I saw a little bit of season four.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess the answer is no.
I finished episode 8. I guess there's 10 episodes. The last one was on the 16th, so that must be the last episode. So I have two more to go. I will come back next week and tell you guys about the last two.
Okay.
Because this season is so, so, so good.
Yeah.
I think this season is so good. I need to know who's watching this. I want to talk about it with people. Juno Temple from mm-hmm. Ted Lasso. It, and a million other things, is the star of the season, along with Mad Men's name?
John Hamm.
John Hamm. Wow. Mm-hmm. I almost called him Jeffrey Dean Morgan. For some reason, once I was thinking about Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I couldn't get to John Hamm.
You remember the Madman? You know him.
and John Hamm are so good in this. There's so many layers. It is unbelievably complicated. I think that they have, this is like, I don't remember loving Fargo this much. Okay. And it is just, and I like Fargo. This is, they are really killing it this season. I can't recommend it enough. You guys have until next week to finish it with me for me to talk about spoilers for the 10 episodes.
I might check it out, because I like the movie Fargo quite a bit. I remember liking season one. I liked season two a little bit less. And I think maybe I bailed on season three because that was when like Legion kind of went off the rails, since the same showrunner.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I need to take a break from this guy.
The guy from Stranger Things, the guy who plays Steve, is one of the stars of this.
Yeah.
And he's so good in this. It took me like 4 episodes to place him. How do I know that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like with his Minnesota accent and shit. I was like, I know him. And then finally I was like, oh my God.
Well, and the good thing with Fargo is that I don't need to watch the previous seasons to watch this one, because it's an anthology. No.
Exactly. And I didn't watch the most recent two, I don't think.
What era are, like, what decade are we in? Because I know we jump around a bunch.
I don't know.
Maybe I should go back, because I know season three was Ewan McGregor and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and I like both of them.
Fargo season 5, when? I'm curious. I don't actually know.
Well, while you're looking that up, I will talk about Monarch probably.
2019. Oh, yeah, they do say at the beginning that this real event, 2018 or something.
Gotcha. So close enough to present. Mm-hmm. I got to talk about this Netflix movie called 60 Minutes.
What is this, DJ?
It's a German action film, German action thriller. That is on Netflix. You all can watch it now. And boy, howdy, was this the movie I needed? Because I was just sitting there like, what do I want to watch? I want something kind of fun, but kind of crimey, kind of whatever. Basically, the premise of this movie is insane. We're following a MMA fighter played by Emilio Sakurai, who is literally about to enter the ring in what we're supposed to understand is one of the biggest fights of his career. And he gets a call from his ex that's like, if you don't show up at your daughter's birthday by 6 p.m., I'm going to take sole custody and you'll never see her again. And so, like, seconds before he steps out, he bails on the fight and just starts running from one part of Berlin to another part of Berlin to get to his daughter's birthday party. That's the premise. And somehow this unlocks a massive criminal conspiracy that requires him to kick so many people in the head.
Why does he have to walk there? Why can't he drive?
Because of shenanigans, Roxy, because of being chased, and there's so many car wrecks and fist fights. And I love the Warriors. I love any type of like, hey, do you want to watch this scummy dirtbag have to fight a bunch of other scummy dirtbags to get from point A to point B? I'm like, yes, I do. Please and thank you. So there's a little bit of that kind of DNA in Gunplay, gunplaymovie.com. Please go support that January 30th. But yeah, so it's just a fun, super heightened, kind of goofy, feels dismissive because I love this movie. But like, so we learn that his daughter is, he was supposed to come after the fight. He told his daughter he'd bring cake. And so now she's not eating because she's waiting for the cake he's supposed to bring. And so the cake becomes this like totemic object of a cake and a cat. He's going to get his daughter Kitty, become these like objects that he needs to get to fulfill his quest. So it's like really over the top, but it is a blast. On Rotten Tomatoes right now, it has Rotten Tomatoes score of 56%, but an audience score of 84%. I am the audience. I am the 84%. That is me. I love this movie. And I just give, if you want a fun little action romp, I recommend checking it out.
I think I will.
Please do. Oh, Roxy, look at this image again.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
I know.
Yeah.
DJ, as you said, I'm looking it up and I'm like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just for that alone. I will. Yeah. I recommend it. And it's really, the action scenes are really fun and good and well choreographed.
I kind of like egregious premises like this that then just like lean in.
It's just one. Yeah, it does not require you like to take any of that serious. It's just enough to like get the motor running, and set up so many awesome action scenes. Here's another one you mentioned, Roxy, that I'm surprised I've just started hearing about, and I'm surprised you're watching it. Has Been Hotel. I actually don't know the premise of Has Been.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm watching this for Real Rejects right now,
which is
why I started watching it. I wouldn't have watched it. Here's what happened with this. 4 years ago, a YouTube channel put out a pilot for a show called Has Been Hotel.
Yeah.
It is very much like Harley Quinn. People don't like that I say this, but it's very much like Harley Quinn, the animated series. It's raunchy like that. It's rated 16 plus, sometimes 18 plus. And the two main women in it are very much like Harley and Poison Ivy. They're dating. They play off each other really well. And the premise, though, is that the main girl, Charlie, is the daughter of Lucifer and Lilith, and she is the princess of hell. Mm-hmm. But she is the only one in hell who was not supposed to be. She didn't do anything to get sent to hell, right?
Yeah.
She's just the princess of hell.
Yeah.
And these are her people, and they are annually being executed by the angels.
Okay.
The angels are coming down and executing some of the people in hell. And she is on a mission to save her people.
Okay.
And it is a musical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And an animated musical of like epic proportions with wild characters. So she creates this thing called the Has Been Hotel, where people can come to be reformed, and she wants to pitch this to heaven so that they know not everybody has to stay in hell. Souls can actually be reformed.
Gotcha.
And in the hotel, obviously there's a bunch of freeloaders. People who are coming in, you know, causing debauchery. Our main people are a porn star named Angel Dust, who is, a man who's cross-dressing and is like, but doesn't look like a man. None of the characters look like looks like almost like a bunny kind of.
Okay.
They all, when they go to hell, they all kind of turn into morphed versions of
so themselves. It's almost kind of like Beetlejuice right. rules, where it's like once you're in the afterlife realm, you're a different thing now.
Yeah, some of them yeah. have like no eyes, some of them have one eye, some of them they kind of like morph. And there's a lot of there's like seven main characters. They're all unbelievably intriguing. This show does everything it can to be wildly entertaining while being incredibly poignant on who effing decides who is good and bad, mm-hmm. what are the rules, and how do you get to these places? And I just can't get enough of it, DJ. There's two more episodes that are dropping. So what happened was 4 years ago, pilot came out. Yeah. Amazon now put out episodes so far, 1 through 6 are out. So the pilot's still on YouTube. Then episode 1 is on Amazon, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then 7 and 8 drop next Thursday. And that will be season 1.
Interesting. Interesting. This sounds like something I'd be into. Would I be into this?
Yeah, DJ, it's so fucking good.
Okay.
It's I'll check it out. For those of you guys who have watched, episode 4 to me was the one that blew my mind when we focus on Angel Dust and why he is doing the things that he is doing. Mm-hmm. That's the one episode that is 18 plus. And I can't believe that an animated show did this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe any show did this. I was like, how are they going to do this? And they did it. And I was like, whoa. Wow. Fucking whoa.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll check that out. And maybe
start
Fargo.
Start with the pilot on YouTube.
I should start with that before the first episode?
I do think so. You don't need to in order to understand everything. And they change all the voice actors.
Okay.
But the pilot on YouTube is canon for them. So.
Gotcha.
Like, to me, why not start there? And it's so good. It just gives you extra stuff. But like the pilot, I'm like, wow, this is good. Episode 1, I was like, this is really good. Episode 2, I'm like, wow, very good. And then it's just like, holy shit, this show is fucking great.
Cool. Cool. I will check it out. Roxy, we were just talking about, I was going to ask you, have you heard about this, the Godzilla show, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters on Apple?
Everyone keeps talking about Monarch and I thought it was a different show.
So you thought it was, there's two different shows. What did you think Monarch was?
I don't know, because I didn't realize that Apple could do a Godzilla show.
Yeah, I guess it's something. I think Legendary, who's been doing the American Godzilla movies, was doing them through Warner Brothers.
But I guess some kind of butterfly reference.
Well, because you look at the logo, it's kind of like a little hourglass, but it could also be a butterfly. You know?
Yeah. But I didn't know this was the Godzilla show. I thought this was a butterfly show, DJ.
No. It's a Godzilla show, and it very much is a Godzilla show. In that he's the one, like every time there's a moment where like, uh-oh, we're getting a reading. It's another Titan. Who could it be? It's Godzilla. It's almost always Godzilla. So we're following, for those that are not familiar, Monarch is the organization that keeps track of Godzilla-like creatures called Titans in that world. And we're following a group of kids who find out their dad worked for that organization. And they link up with Kurt Russell. Meanwhile, we're getting flashbacks.
It's wild that it's Kurt Russell.
It is wild. And he's so fucking good.
Kurt Russell.
He's Kurt fucking Russell. We get flashbacks to his history with the organization where the younger version of him is played by his son, Wyatt Russell. And Wyatt Russell is also good, but he's not Kurt
Russell.
Wyatt
Russell is Kurt Russell's kid?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I feel so dumb right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's good. I like him. It's just the problem is like, you know, he's not Kurt Russell. And so like the second you go to the present and Kurt Russell's playing the character, you're like, wow, this character is like so interesting now. So they flash back.
Oh my God. Of course. Wyatt Russell is Kurt Russell's kid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good for
Wyatt
him, right?
Russell is so good.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for him having Kurt Russell as a dad. So we're following the two different timelines and the history of this organization. And I enjoyed the show. It does feel like the most expensive live action Saturday morning cartoon I've ever seen. Like my issues with the show is it's very focused on aspects of the American Godzilla movies I don't love. Like I don't love the Hollow Earth stuff. I just don't like that concept. It feels like QAnon conspiracy shit. Like when I hear Hollow Earth, I hear Flat Earth, and I'm like, I don't like that this is in a major blockbuster. I don't like it. Although they
like
do
that's
make
the show stance though. Like, is the show trying to make a point on that?
No. It's just that's the premise. They've decided. I can't remember which movie they introduced it in, but they've decided that is the mythology of this series. That beneath the earth, there's another earth where these monsters live. This show makes it clearer that it is functionally a different dimension. It's not like there's caves under the crust of the earth where monsters live. It's more like these are holes to portals to what is functionally a different dimension. But even that's kind of silly. It's like, I think Godzilla could just be around. I don't know that we need to explain. And I think maybe that explanation comes partially from the fact that he's so fucking big. All these titans are so fucking big in these movies that they can't just like exist. But yeah, other than that, I think it's a fun show. I like Godzilla. I like Kurt Russell. So I like this show. The setup for season two is interesting. This season was very much Godzilla focused. The setup for season two makes it feel like if they did a season two, it'd be very Kong focused. And I think that could be really cool. And I think there is room for this series to really, I think there's enough here that like if you tweak some things in season two, you could have a real knockout show.
What do you think the budget of this show is?
A lot. I will say
there are... Apple seems to be like throwing money.
Here's the thing. So they'll do stuff like, we need to go to the Sahara. And weirdly, the Sahara looks like Northern California. It looks like the California... like, it doesn't look like Sahara Desert. But then like Godzilla will show up and fight something. You're like, oh, this is where the money went. This is why like when they're in... There's a sequence where they go to the monster dimension and it's just like a forest with a weird looking sky and you're like, why does this really in your Godzilla show, this is, it looks so cheap. And then the Godzilla fight happens, you're like, oh, it's not cheap, it's just you had to pay for Kurt Russell in this big Godzilla fight. It looks, for the most part, it looks pretty good. It's got a good cast. I like the cast. Yeah, it's just some of the concepts are, it's Saturday morning cartoon logic. Some of the concepts are a little bit silly. That's it. And I think I'm more of a Godzilla fan than a Kong fan in general. However, I like Kong more in these American movies. I think they do a better job with Kong than they do with Godzilla. So it's like season two with Kong, I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, I'll watch that shit. I'm in. Kurt Russell coming back. I am bummed though, because young Wyatt Russell's characters hang out. I don't know how much you remember of the Legacy of Monsters lore, Roxy, but John Goodman's in the Kong movie.
Oh.
Wyatt Russell's character hangs out with a young version of the character, John Goodman's character in Kong.
Okay.
And the way the timeline plays out, it's like there is no way that we can get Kurt Russell hanging out with John Goodman. And it's like, that's all I want, though. That would be amazing. I would fucking love that shit.
Time machine.
I mean, listen, with as crazy as everything else is, there's really no reason why they couldn't. Just fucking do that. Like, they already set up, when you go into the Monsterverse or whatever, time works differently. So it's like that.
Okay. There's really,
unless, yeah.
Come on.
I just really want, like, because John Goodman's character died on screen in Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was way past that. But it's like, but you've already said Kurt Russell's character was friends with John Goodman's character. And I would really like to see those two. They're both real good. And I'd like to see them interact.
That would be a really fun duo. I wonder if they've been in anything together. Somebody can tell me. DJ, similar to your question to me about Hazen Hotel, to you.
Yes.
But is this for me?
Oh, I don't know, Roxy. Are you like way into the Godzilla lore?
No.
I think it'd be a
little
bit.
I want to watch Minus One because you guys all were like, it's the greatest ever.
That also hurt this show, is that this show was airing when Godzilla Minus One came out. It's like, I like this show, but Godzilla Minus One exists.
So can I should watch that, not this.
Yes. If you had to pick one Godzilla thing, fucking make it Minus One.
Okay.
Please, for the love of God, it's so good. All right, in the chat, what are you all into? Mike Joyce says, oh, why am I reading here? I should bring it up here. TV, Masters of the Air. Roxy, are you going to watch that Masters of the Air show with Elvis in it?
Definitely going to watch the Masters of the Air show.
Let me know how it is. Has Been Hotel, True Detective, Sports, the movies, ISS, American Fiction, Self-Reliance.
What's ISS?
ISS is like a space thriller starring, why am I blanking on her name? Oh, it's an actress I really like, and I just blanked on her name.
While you're thinking of it, Mike Joyce, how are you feeling about Has Been Hotel? I had a whole conversation about Has Been Hotel, and you didn't chime in about Has Been Hotel.
You didn't chime in once.
And everybody left me to dry, and nobody's talking about how good that show is. It's so fucking good.
Ariana DeBose. is in ISS. And I've heard it's fine. I've heard it's fine, but she's good. And I like her and things. Leonard Kim, TV, True Detective, The Trust, Percy Jackson, Death and Other Details, Wild Cards, Masters of the Air, The Traitors, and Sports.
I'm hearing Death and Other Details is a must-watch murder mystery show that I have not seen on Hulu, and I will.
Check it out. I'm counting on you, Rox. You got to update me. That's what you're into. Thank you all for joining, everybody who joined us live. Thank you all for being a patron. Please, please, please go over to gunplaymovie.com. January 30th and back that campaign. There will be special awards just for patrons. I'm actually doing the finishing touches, working on something specifically for the patrons.
What is
it? Right now, as we speak, well, you'll have to wait until it's done. Okay. And then I'll announce it. But stay tuned for that. But anyway, as always, there'll be special stuff for patrons at gunplaymovie.com. Please go back at January 30th, and we will see you all next time. Bye, everybody.